You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. It's a Thursday episode, and today is the final day of SEC Media Days down in Hoover, Alabama. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kane, or on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. You can hear this podcast 5 days a week on the Odyssey app, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and a ton of other listening options as well. Got both those links in my bio for you guys to check out if you need them. Hey, guys, we're talking all SEC football, Tennessee football, but I want to remind you guys about the live NBA draft show coming up. NBA draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Carillis will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. You can get the local expert analysis after each and every pick. Follow the Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So, want to recap what was day number three, I guess, in Hoover, Wednesday, and kind of give you some of the highlights. And I try to take a Tennessee's perspective to the teams that were in-house, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M. That'll be in segment number one. In segment two, I have a one-on-one conversation with Ron Slay. He is here at SEC Media Days as well. Of course, he's a part of 3HL on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. They are on Radio Row as well. But also, he is going to be coaching the Volunteers in the TBT, that's the basketball tournament, grand prize, $1 million. We'll get Ron Slay's thoughts on that. Game one is coming up on Friday. It'll be on ESPN. And in segment number three, a report from the Houston Chronicle claiming that Oklahoma and Texas are inquiring about getting in the SEC. You know we got to talk about that. That is the lineup here today for a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. So let's get into it. Alabama had Nick Saban there, John Mechie, and Fedarian Mathis. Vanderbilt had Clark Lee and a couple players. Mississippi State had Mike Leach and a couple players, as did Texas A&M, who had Jimbo Fisher and a couple of players. And I want to go ahead and play some audio clips, some short audio clips about kind of what I could get out of these guys in terms of Tennessee. Not all these were questions asked by me, but you know what I'm saying. Some interesting stuff, some interesting comments coming your way. Mike Leach, when he was at the main podium in the main room here in Hoover in the Winfrey, he was asked by John Adams, and I'll play the question about the 2017 fiasco and, you know, how close was he being, you know, to coming to Tennessee. And so here is John Adams with that question and the answer from Mike Leach.
John Adams, KnoxNews.com. Mike, was there a moment a few years ago when you were at Washington State that you thought you might be the next head coach at Tennessee?
I talked to Tennessee, but that, you know, that thing never, well, it did nothing, and nothing ever got nailed down. And then pretty soon they had a coup d'etat there. And, and you know, you guys can sort that among yourselves, but that's pretty well documented. And then, yeah, I didn't end up in the middle of the coup. So lucky for me.
So, as you can hear, the room went into laughter, and again, that's at Tennessee's expense, and it's unfortunate. But you know, we all remember 2017. We all remember the dips and turns and valleys and the lows. It considerably just continued to get lower and lower and lower after each coach that was interviewed or talking to stayed where they were and got a raise and all that type of stuff. But, you know, Mike Leach saying he did have talks with Tennessee, but he got out of there before it got really, really bad. And if you remember, it was John Curry that was on the plane when he kind of went AWOL, and everybody at Tennessee was like, yo, where are you? He was going to talk with Mike Leach. He said, come right back around. He came back around, and, well, he got fired. So that is something Tennessee fans, obviously a process Tennessee fans don't want to remember. But nonetheless, Mike Leach was asked about that from John Adams. Next off, Mike Leach blows off my question. I wanted to ask him about Javonte Payton and what Tennessee's getting in Javonte Payton. Here's how that sequence went out.
I don't really know. I mean, I just talk about guys on our team, you know. So, you know, we'll let the Volunteers handle that.
So Mike Leach not having anything to do with me or my question. I thought you guys would get a kick out of that, so I wanted to put it in the podcast. Next up, I did get an answer from Austin Williams, who is a wide receiver at Mississippi State, a former teammate of Javonte Payton, a former, you know, shared the same position. And I asked Austin Williams again about Javonte Payton. Here is how that sequence unfolded, much different from the sequence prior.
One of your former teammates, Javonte Payton, transferring to Tennessee. What do you see in him as a wide receiver, and what do you think the balls are getting in him at that position?
First, I can't wait. I'm happy for him. I can't wait to see him, you know, excel. Me and Javonte had a great relationship, great player. I mean, he's an explosive athlete. He's great with the ball, great after the catch. I think he's going to be a great fit for him, honestly.
So very appreciative of Austin Williams for giving me an answer, unlike Mike Leach. Mike Leach was hilarious, by the way. If you haven't listened to all the audio or seen all the videos, somebody asked him about movies, and he rambled on for 2 minutes. The moderator had to get in there and cut him off. So he was really, really funny, and he was probably pretty much what everybody expected him to be at SEC Media Days. So Clark Lee, the new man on campus at Vanderbilt, that is his dream job. He went to Vanderbilt. He graduated from Vanderbilt. He has family in Nashville. This is his dream job. And he's coming in there and saying, hey, we're going to start over from complete scratch. You have to earn your logo. You have to earn your number. And hearing from some of the Vanderbilt players that were here at SEC Media Days, you know, they're there for a reason. They're not going to backtalk and you know, make the program look bad. But they said, hey, we love that. You know, in life, you got to compete for everything. You got to earn everything. And so I feel like we needed that. And so I thought that was really, really interesting, because if I was a player in that locker room and the coach came in and said, hey, you got to earn the number that you wore last year. You got to earn this locker that you'll be like, yo, you know what, man, why don't you chill out a little bit? But it looks like Vanderbilt's starting completely over. And why not try this new different approach? But that's kind of what Clark Lee is bringing. I thought Clark Lee was really impressive upstairs in the main room and the radio room. I thought he spoke very, very well. I thought he did a nice job. He kind of sifted everybody on Radio Row, however, and so that was not cool. But overall, I thought it was a good day for Clark Lee. And then finally, I don't have the audio, but I will just talk about this. Of course, Nick Saban was asked about Henry Tuolotuo and how he's going to make the defense that much better and what type of player he is. And as you'd expect, Nick Saban, you know, sung the praises of Henry T, saying, hey, I recruited him out of high school. If you remember from that 24/7 Sports article that came out whenever Henry T went into the transfer portal and it spoke with his father, and he's talking about Alabama, and it all but seemed like he was going to Alabama. Of course, it didn't actually transpire until about 2 months later, but Henry T's father was father was quoted in saying, hey, we made that mistake once, let's not do it again, and going to Tennessee, and he was just singing the praises of Alabama. But Nick Saban was, you know, reciprocating that here today, talking about Henry T, saying that he believes that he was one of the best players in the league when he was at Tennessee, and that he recruited him out of high school, and he's very excited to be a part of the program and to make his defense better. So no shocker there, but you know, the question was going to be asked about Henry Tuolotuo, who's widely regarded as the top transfer of this offseason in all college football, not just the SEC, but all of college football. So that's a little bit from day number three. Again, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M. You will have Arkansas, Missouri, and Auburn to conclude SEC Media Days day four, which will be today, Thursday, here in Hoover, Alabama. I'm going to be covering that a little bit, then hitching a ride back home, and I will be back late on Thursday night to record Friday morning's podcast. So looking forward to that. My one-on-one conversation with Ron Slay coming up in segment number two. But before we get there, guys, I want to remind you about Rock Auto. Save time and money with Rock Auto at rockauto.com. Why choose to spend up to 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can do it all from your computer, from your browser, and online at home at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years, selling it to the do-it-yourselfers and the experts. RockAuto.com, the prices are always reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oils, even to new carpets. We encourage you to discover your own car part needs, discover how RockAuto.com can help, and we encourage you to share with your friends, share with your family, okay? So go explore their easy-to-use website, navigate through that profile on there, and find the solution for all of your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck. Right Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. Back here on Locked On Vols, segment number two of a Thursday show. I'm Eric Kane. Thanks for hanging out with us here today. Got a one-on-one conversation coming up with Ron Slay. Again, Ron Slay down here in Hoover, Alabama for SEC Media Days. But will soon be taking a plane to Columbus, Ohio, because he is going to be coaching the Volunteers in the basketball tournament. But I talked a little football with him, talked a little TBT, and here's that conversation with Ron Slay. Tennessee's legend Ron Slay joining me here from Radio Row at SEC Media Days. Ron, it's I was joking with Jimmy and some of the guys. I was like, look at Ron Slay going over there and covering a press conference. This is a different world for you right now, isn't it?
It is, man, and it's fun. You know, you different. You don't really understand what goes into it as a player. You just come in, you think it's all about you, and you get in and out. But then when you get behind the scenes on the media side, you see, like, it's some real work being involved, and it's a schedule that you got to keep. So, you know, you're ripping and running, man, but I've enjoyed it all, man. Enjoyed it all.
Seeing you down here, getting here early in the morning, then staying off through the end of your show in the afternoon, recording interviews and stuff. Who's been so far this week the coolest interview you guys have had?
Man, it's a plethora, man. You look at, you know, you got the players, Stingley, who was real reserved at first, but I put him in the boom boom room. He opened up a little bit. That was fun. Of course, Velas and Lante were great. Jordan Davis was pretty good from Georgia. Big Kingsley from South Carolina, he was good as far as coaches goes. Coach Orgeron, he never disappoints. Clark Lee was really good. He got put in the boom boom room. Hyper was so relaxed in the boom boom room. So it was, man, it's hard to pick one. I think Coach O, because one, he brought me, he said he would take me to eat at his mom's house, which I can never pass it up. But then I got a soft spot for Clark Lee. So Clark was really good also.
Yeah, I promise I'll get to the basketball tournament here in a second and some more Tennessee stuff. But, you know, Vanderbilt Day is today when we're recording this on Wednesday. And I sat up there for Clark Lee in the main room and essentially said, hey, we're starting over. Of course, Vanderbilt didn't win a football game last year. But, you know, the players had to earn the logo. The players had to earn their jersey number. Put yourself in a football helmet or on the basketball court. If a coach said that to you, kind of how would you respond to that?
Initially, I'd be like, man, what is this dude trying to come in preaching? But when you look at him and you see the same thing day in and day out from a guy like Clark Lee, I think he really represents what Vanderbilt wants to show as far as a school that's evolving, especially in sports. You know, you got what Corbin's doing. You got what Stackhouse trying to do in basketball. But he's a great fit. And then I think this is a time where the state of the mid-state, you know, is really behind Clark Lee and what he's doing. You know, you usually don't say that. You know, it's usually all Tennessee, a couple of Memphis people, but usually, you know, you can just pull them away. But what Clark Lee is preaching, I love it, you know, and I'm a Vol all day, you know what I mean? But he's one guy that I would follow, I'm going to be honest.
All right, so the basketball tournaments, we get going with the Volunteers on Friday. Mm-hmm. 6 to win the million. You're going to be coaching this team along with, of course, you know, Bobby Mays, who put it together. Yep. How excited are you and how ready is your team?
I'm very excited, man. They're up there practicing right now. I've been getting checking in with Jerron Maiman, who will be assistant coach, and then I got the leaders already pegged out as Tyler and Duke, the whole people accountable. Juwan Smith's good. You know what CeeLo's going to do. We're just trying to put everybody in the fold, make sure everybody's going the right direction, and we're all sticking to what we're trying to do, and that's be selfless in order to win $1 million. I think a lot of people would want to do that. So I think we got a good group, man. I think it's going to shock a lot of people. We'll see. It's going to be one game at a time, man.
So, not to give anything away, I mean, I don't know how many of your competitors will be listening to this this interview. Probably all of them.
Yeah, they may.
But how are you going to coach this? I mean, is it going to be sticking with the best players the entire time, try to get everybody involved, stick with a 7-8-man rotation? How are you going to do this?
Well, I played in it, so I know depth is really important, especially once you get past the first game. So, I think the depth, you'll see that come into play as the tournament goes on, if we survive in advance. But for the most part, it's geared around Chris Lofton. I think everybody in the world knows that. A coach would be dumb if he didn't do it. So I think everybody understands that. But we also have other weapons. So with the all the attention that Chris is going to draw, everybody else is able to play off of that, you know, and get easier shots. So it's geared around him. But defensively, we're going to rebound, not give up second shots, play defense, and just stay together and rebound the ball. If we do that, guaranteed it'll be all right.
Well, I mean, we know you can get pretty animated at times.
Yes.
But this is kind of weird because these are your VFL brothers. These are your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that line? Or is there no – I mean, you're going for $1 million.
Right.
I guess that line is invisible right now.
Yeah,
right?
It is right now. But I think, you know, all of them look at me like a big brother anyway. Yeah. You know, and I always come back and play with these guys and things of that nature. And we always stay in touch. So they know, listen, I'm not going to put them in a bad situation. Hopefully they don't put me in a bad situation where I got to yank one of them. But if if it comes to that, they got to pull them out. You know, and as long as the resort is winning, I think all of them will be fine with it. So get the million. We'll discuss the rest later.
what's been the preparation like over the last couple of months gearing up for the basketball tournament? I know you guys are all scattered out in different places, but get together. How many practices have you guys had? I know you're practicing right now. Right. What's that been like?
So we've been getting together. The alumni game was the first time we all got together that Bobby Mays put on, and that was good to get a gauge where everybody is. And then we've been going since Sunday all the way to Wednesday. Everybody will leave tomorrow, go up to Columbus. We'll practice in Columbus. Then Friday have a shoot around, then get ready for the game. But basically, man, it's been sleepless nights for me, you know what I mean? Because
this weekend itself is a
god. Yeah. So once we get finished with this, my mind is racing, trying to think of plays and situations, out of bounds, all of these things that go into coaching, man. So the gray hairs that you see in my beard all come from that. So once we get past that, I think when the game settles in, I can sleep easy because I know we prepared the right way.
VFO Ron Slay, coaching the Volunteers in the basketball tournament, of course, down here at SEC Media Days in Hoover. Have you done a lot of scouting? How much scouting can you do for a tournament like this?
I think, man, you know the players for who they are, and a lot of our players have played against these guys that we're going to play against. I know Purdue that we got first, they're a big lineup. You know, they should rebound the ball well, but I think our advantage is we're more athletic, so we ought to be able to get up and down and control the tempo. I don't think they would do that as well, so that's as far as we've gone. I know if we advance, they hope we're playing Carmen's crew, which would be Ohio State team. And that's a matchup that, you know, no scouting needs to be done. You know, it still stings that they beat us in the tournament, and we're going to carry that into the TBT. So might be a little fighting, a little blood out there, but as long as we win, it's cool.
All right, we'll be watching. We'll be rooting for you. Let's and again, game one Friday night. It's going to be on ESPN?
ESPN, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome.
Be ready.
Awesome. So we'll definitely TiVo that. So back here on Media Row real quick, I saw where Josh Hopple joined you guys yesterday, 104 about the zone here. And I believe the question was asked, who would win in a game, a horse, he or Rick Barnes? Tell me about that.
Yes, I'm kind of pissed off that the hyper went at the assistant coaches the way he did. You know, he shied away from Coach Barnes, but he did go at the assistants and ask the assistants how I would do in a game of horse. So, you know, I'm calling out the coaches, man. Coach Clark, all you guys, man, Coach Schwartz, y'all got to get it together, but man. So, and if y'all need me, y'all can hire me for a day. I'll come in, play the horse game, then you can fire me. And I'll make sure we get the victory. But hyper can't be talking about us like that, man.
All right, man, last one, I'll let you go. It's been a couple months, been on the job, afternoon radio. And in a great market with some great co-workers. How's it going?
Man, it's going great, man. You know, WNML set me up beautifully.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of prep, you know what I mean, being able to do that show, and that just it blended over and right into this show, man. But Paul and Allison give me an opportunity, and then work with everybody on the radio, man. It's been great. Blaine, Mickey, Buck Rising, Jay Martin, and then the people behind, Red B, Schaefer, Joe Hunk, Lucas Panzica, all those guys make it easy. Even you get Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, you know, adding in and gave me his number. So it makes it easy, man. And then I got to give a salute to Ramon for opening the door up for me, for getting in there. So the VFL brothers and then brothers in blood, don't get no easier.
That's VFL Ron Slay. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Big thanks to Ron Slay. Best of luck to him and the Volunteers in the TBT. Again, getting started on a Friday night. That game will be on ESPN. So we'll come back. We'll talk about the inquiry from Texas and Oklahoma about joining the SEC, That's coming from the Houston Chronicle. We'll talk about that. We'll expand on it here in just a little bit. But first, guys, bet online. The fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. How many of you guys had the Milwaukee Bucks coming back and winning the series down 2-0? Not many of you. I'm definitely not one of you. But if you did, and you got in on that down 0-2 at betonline.ag, you came out a huge winner the other night. You can get all the news, odds, information for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, MMA action, all that at betonline.ag. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and all the contests they have there to offer. I don't want you guys to sit on the sideline anymore. I want you to get in the game, use your sports knowledge, put it to use, and put some coin in your pocket. If you use the promo code Locked On right now and you're at the website, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. It's your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got one more segment left here on a Thursday show, guys. I do appreciate you. Don't forget, tomorrow's Five Star Friday. Give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Leave me a positive review if you feel the need to do that. I would very much appreciate it. Big thanks in advance for that. All right, so our final segment is not necessarily SEC Media Days related, but it has very much to do with the SEC. Okay, so what I got going on here is I'm covering SEC Media Days, and then at about 1 o'clock Central Time down here in Hoover on Wednesday, out comes the report from the Houston Chronicle where reportedly, Oklahoma and Texas are inquiring about getting in the SEC. So Oklahoma and Texas are wanting to be wanting to try to get in the SEC. Initial thoughts. Thoughts, prayers, concerns, what we got here? I'm for it. I like it. I mean, I don't have a huge, you know, inkling one way or the other, but I think, you know, quality football programs. Obviously, Oklahoma's a top five program year in and year out under Lincoln Riley. Texas, much like Tennessee, a powerful brand, a rich history, and you know, it's had more success than Tennessee lately. But still, it's kind of off from where it needs to be. But you add that to the SEC, and you're making the best conference in the world even that much more dangerous, in my opinion. Does the SEC need these two teams? No. The SEC makes a crap ton of money. I about said a cuss word. Makes a crap ton of money. It has pretty much the national champion year in and year out for the most part. Okay? It's already got 14 teams. So the SEC is not necessarily, you know, hurting for this. But it's not like you wouldn't turn them away. What would need to happen would be the Longhorn Network would have to be dropped from Texas, because the SEC Network ain't gonna allow that, that's for sure. That's one of the big pillars that would need to fall in order for this to happen. Another pillar that would need to fall for SEC realignment, 75% of the members need to extend are needed to extend an invitation for new membership. League rules allow for such votes to take place via special phone or Zoom meetings. So 75% of the SEC would need to say, I. And I believe I've been seeing some reports. I'm not good with math off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure all but two votes would need to be in favor of yes, or in favor for that to be allowed. I'm not saying that there's going to be a vote anytime soon. No, there's just reports about Oklahoma and Texas inquiring about getting into the SEC. So, Oklahoma issued a statement. Quote, "The college athletics landscape is shifting constantly. We don't address every anonymous rumor." Okay, Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, was asked again at SEC Media Days. This report is not released. Okay, this report is not released by coincidence. Texas A&M is at SEC Media Days on Wednesday. Alabama is at SEC Media Days on Wednesday. Alabama's already, you know, here and gone. But point remains, Greg Sankey is in-house. There are over 300 reporters in the Winfrey Hotel. This stuff doesn't happen just by chance, okay? But the report comes out. Greg Sankey's been asked, you know, by reporters. All of us are here. He says no comment, which makes me believe, you know, if he's not coming out and strictly just, you know, refuting it, that there's something there. Now, he was relaxed. He was go with the flow today. He did a ton of interviews on Radio Row where he would sit down and talk for like 25, 30 minutes almost. I mean, he was pretty chill today, okay? So, again, the SEC doesn't need Texas or Oklahoma. But I'm for bringing it in. I mean, I really am. What say you? Now, if this were to happen, okay, if this were to happen, there would have to be some changes. What kind of changes? Well, you know, their you know, conference realignment would likely be a thing, because you would now have 16 teams, okay? It would make no sense, knowing the SEC and its infamy of wisdom, led by Greg Sankey. Overall, again, if you guys remember the Omar Payne incident with John Fulkerson in the March Madness tournament, I went after Greg Sankey. I said it was piss poor leadership, and for you to be in-house at Bridgestone Arena and not come out and make a public statement and not come out and handle this yourself, then it was piss poor leadership. Florida ended up handling it itself, but still, I went after Greg Sankey there. Overall, I think Greg Sankey's done a fine job. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But do I have some qualms with him? For sure I do. But overall, I think he's done. A fine job. But anyway, the SEC and it's the way he goes about things. Would it go out and get Oklahoma and put it in the East? Probably, because hell, that's what it did with Missouri. You know, but you would likely need some conference realignment. This is how I would do the conferences. Okay, so I would do 2 8-team divisions. Okay. You play all the other teams in your division, so you have 7 games there. You play 2 crossover opponents a year, so that's 9 SEC games a year, and then you have 3 non-conference games. Okay, you rotate. You don't have a permanent crossover. You rotate. You get 2 new fresh ones every year. 2 new fresh ones every year. No permanent cross-divisional rival. 9 SEC games, 3 non-conference. This is how they look. The SEC East would be Alabama and Auburn moving to the East, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Kentucky. The SEC West would have Missouri moving out west where it should be, adding Texas, Oklahoma, and then A&M, Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. Again, my divisions would be, if this were to be a thing and it was Oklahoma and Texas coming over, my divisions would be, so the SEC East, Tennessee already plays Alabama every single year, so, you know, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Kentucky. The West would be Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Arkansas, LSU, Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and you get that Texas A&M matchup every single year once again. That is what I would do it. That is how I would do it. So, no one's come out and refute this. No one has come out and refute this, which leads me to believe that there have been some conversations. Now, is this going to happen tomorrow? No. Is this going to happen, you know, by December? Maybe. Could plans be put into place and then said starting in the fiscal year 2023, here we are? Maybe. I don't know. All we know is that there's some inquiring going on right now. But it's fun to play around with. I mean, it really is kind of fun to think about. Does the SEC need this? No, the SEC doesn't. But would it be accepting? I think that it would. I think that it would. I threw the question out there on Twitter, at Locked On Vols on Twitter, and it said, with the reported news coming out of the Big 12 today, which team would you be most in favor of joining the SEC? Which team would you like to kick out? Doug says, bye, Missouri. Hello, NC State. David, our buddy over at WBAR, says, nobody else needs to join. If I had to kick a team out, it would be Texas A&M. Okay? I had a couple other ones that said Clemson. I had a couple other ones that said West Virginia. I said West Virginia. Tyler says Mississippi State and Vandy. I mean, that's just me, though. So, I have been on the train that West Virginia needs to be in the SEC for quite some time. I mean, West Virginia, the fans. I mean, they just scream SEC, if you know what I'm saying. I'm all for putting West Virginia in the East, the SEC East. I'd be all for it. So, it's kind of a fun exercise. Who would you like to add to the SEC? And if you had to kick somebody out, which team would you like to kick out? At Locked On Balls, if you want to play, I'll read some more of these off tomorrow. So, again, from the Houston Chronicle, reported news on Wednesday at SEC Media Days, Texas and Oklahoma are inquiring about joining the SEC. So, we'll have to see if anything comes of it. But obviously, I didn't want to bury the lead, but we had more important things to get into today's show. But interesting, to say the least. All right. So we're talking all Vols here, talking all SEC here. But right now, you can listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. Featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA Mock Drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Schallenbrunn and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your home for sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, AUDACY. It has been a fun show. We heard from coaches at day 3 of the SEC Media Days. We heard Mike Leach snub my question. We heard some other audio in segment 1. Caught up with Ron Slay in segment number 2 on SEC Media Days, as well as the Volunteers that they get going tomorrow night. And we chatted about the possibility of the SEC expanding once again and the potential that it brings with conference realignment. I've had a blast on today's show, guys. I'm really excited to be heading home later today, but it has been so much fun being down here in Hoover, connecting, meeting with people, getting interviews, interviewing coaches and players. It's been fun, guys, and thanks for being along for this ride. If you enjoy my work, want to see more, please follow me on Twitter at _Caner. And that's going to do it here for this Thursday show. We'll be back strong, better than ever, for a 5-Star Friday that's coming up tomorrow. Guys, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.